Welcome to Activate Yourself with Geeta Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Geeta Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, this is Activate Yourself, and my name is Geeta Sidhu-Rab. You know, women lead the most interesting lives. Women's lives are never like the lives of men on some level. I don't know why, because there is so much depth to the life of an average woman. I don't know a lot of average women. I would say that I'm privileged enough to meet non-average women on a daily basis, which I think is really good for the soul. But I do think that when you meet women that are living normal lives, it is utterly gobsmacking to look at what is underneath the surface. So today's guest, I was saying to her, what should we do in the introduction? How should we introduce you? And what are the things that really changed your life? And Christina, who you will meet shortly, was like, well, I think it's something to do with my son dying and then my husband dying. And I was kind of like, oh, okay then. I have nothing to say to that because one of those is a life-changing event. Imagine two of those are life-changing events. And then we were having this conversation. I was like, let me just press record and we'll bring the conversation so you can hear it, because Christina Black is a celebrity makeup artist. She created a makeup brand called Pretty Girl Makeup, is the mother of, gave birth to 5 children, was married for a very long time and has had a huge amount of tragedy in her life, and is really weirdly someone I would call a raging optimist on some level. And so, Christina, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. It's so good to see you.
Yeah, really good to see you. I mean, it could not have been common. How did you become a celebrity makeup artist first? Because it was from there you went to creating the makeup brand, right?
Correct. Well, I didn't get to be a celebrity makeup artist overnight. That took some time before, you don't get handed a celebrity, unfortunately. It takes a while to get
here's
one.
Yours, but, and here's
yeah,
mine.
Here's yours. And then you get, some more and you keep collecting them. But I had my first celebrity was Amber Kelleher, who sadly passed away a few months ago. And she was an extraordinary woman. And so from her, then I got Tyler Florence. And then I just was very blessed with my agents and just by word of mouth getting more of these amazing people that I get to be blessed to work with. So then I started doing that. And then I was on holiday with some friends and my husband and my children. And one of my girlfriends said to me, our kids had finally, that moment when your kids don't need you in the pool that you can like sit there and read your magazine and, yeah, and drink an iced tea or whatever. And my girlfriend said to me, honey, look it. We're pretty girls. No one knows we're mommies for 2 minutes. And I laughed so hard. I thought, oh my gosh, that's the perfect name for a makeup brand. Because I was so inspired by the women that created Benefit, because they had really charming names like, Aruba in a tuba and, different things like that. And I just thought, if I, as a mom, and I have all these kids and everything, how great would it be to just have one little product that took me away for even 5 seconds to kind of make me giggle a minute. Like I created a lip gloss, love of my life, rich husband, day at the spa, let's go shopping, pretty girl lunch, all these things that just to me, that would be for you, yeah. Private jet. I named that for you. So I had all these funny names of products. And so that's how it started. And then now I now have a podcast called I'm Too Busy. Because I am, as are you. Yeah. And I also am creating a new makeup line and skincare line called I'm Too Busy, and a wellness supplement line called ITB Wellness. So I have all these fun things going on, and I still do photo shoots, which I love. And I was in LA a few days ago doing one, and I've got one with Tyler on Monday. And then, I have Zach Posen, who's extraordinary, and all these amazing people. So it's so much fun because nothing in my life is the same every day, which, I'm kind of like you. I'm a gypsy and I'm not the person that can go to an office and sit there all day and go to have lunch when I'm told to and go home when I'm told to. I kind of, I work, you know, as an entrepreneur, you think you have all this freedom. You do, but you end up working more than someone that really has a normal, right?
Yeah, completely. Because you don't make money until you move somehow, whether you move
exactly
or mentally or physically. My father used to always say that really we were just unemployable. And I was like, yeah.
He's so right. That's probably the truth.
Yeah. I think we would be utterly unemployable, but I feel like I've been unemployable for a long time. But don't you find that? Like, you can even look at your kids and go, you're absolutely unemployable. You maybe are employable, but not you. You can almost see it in people, right?
You know, what's interesting is that my kids, their father is an entrepreneur. He's an attorney, runs a hedge fund. And so they've always seen us working for ourselves. And my children, pretty much all, like, one of my daughters is a fashion designer. My other daughter is a screenwriter. My son is a golf pro. He's turning pro as a golfer. And my other son is in college and he's trying to turn pro. So I don't think my children are employable either, quite frankly.
Yeah, honestly.
Because they don't know what that is. They've never seen it. And that goes right back to where I talk about raising children. It's so important for children to see you in a healthy, happy life, whether, you know, in your personal relationships with your partner or with work, because they are going to emulate whatever they see. You could talk a big talk all damn day, right? Right? You can tell them, don't do drugs, don't drink Diet Coke, you know, do what, all these things. But if they see you doing it, guess what? They're going to as well. Oh, that's the good and the bad, right?
Yeah. No, completely. I can completely see that. And I find it very interesting because I brought up my three children and two stepkids. And the father of the stepkids was somebody who's gone to work every day of his life. He's worked in huge, big brands like JP Morgan, whatever.
Right.
He's worked in an office. And I've never kind of worked in an office like corporate. And it's
right.
interesting to me that his son has gone straight into corporate.
And that's what he knows.
And my children have gone straight into self-employment. And I'm just like, wow, is it like in the DNA? What is this thing and how does it work, right?
I don't know if it's all in the DNA, but I think a lot of it is what they see because that's what they think is normal. So, you know, if they see you in a healthy, happy marriage, then that's what they're going to have. If they see you in a dysfunctional relationship and you don't get out of it, that's what's going to happen to them. So that's why it is so incredibly important to set a good, my daughter had told me once, and it wasn't that long ago, she said, you know, mommy, your lectures on drugs and alcohol and everything else were just dumb. And I thought they were Academy Award winning, quite frankly. And she said,
you tried hard.
She said, no, they were dumb. But the way you lived your life, the way you go through these difficulties with grace and dignity and you're positive and you're happy was so much more impactful, which and I don't know why that surprised me, but it really did. I really was shocked.
But I've done those talks and I don't think
we have to. That's our obligation as mothers.
Kind of your jaw, right? But
right.
I do think that it's very interesting. I did say this in our introduction because you strike me as an optimist. And I would say that people could listen to my background and it could sound awful to many, many people. But I would say I was actually a raging optimist because I assume the best is...
You had to be. You had to be. You had no other choice.
That's what I want to talk about. We're going to go on a break. And then I want to talk about this have to be optimist because I don't think we talk about that enough. We spend a lot of time talking about, oh, woe is me. And I'm like, and? Get a fucking one and just do the goddamn next thing. But that's...
Exactly.
Not fashionable. So can we break that one down with the next?
Yes.
We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. Let's talk about this because I asked you, because you've had these two huge tragedies in your life where your son died as a baby 19 years ago, your husband died 7.5 years ago, which even just saying those words is heartrending. And you said, I just had to keep going. And I think that too. But what is, how would you talk about that emotional state?
Well, let me back up even more. My mother died when I was 19. Two of my best girlfriends passed away within the last 3 years. And then my business partner, he died like a year after my husband. So like I've had so much loss. And I think if I wasn't a raging optimist, I would wither up and die myself. But I think because I love my children so much and I want them to be happy so desperately that, and I think probably it's part of just me being me, that I, my daughter had taught me this as well. She said, you know, you have to be grateful for the time you have with someone, not for what you don't have. Because honestly, we are not, you know, we think that God's going to give us our person and we get them forever. No, we get them for however long we get them and we have to be grateful. So if we don't, that's why for me, I always tell everyone, like I tell you when we chat, I'm like, oh, love you. I'll talk to you soon. I always want everyone to know in my life how important they are and how much I love them every day. And I think that's one of the blessings of having loss is that you really don't take things for granted and people for granted and relationships because I really don't know. And I think part of that is some of the post-traumatic shock of losing, you know, these people that I love, that I get very scared when people leave. Like, you know, I'm always telling my kids, okay, when you take off and land, let me know. And love you big and all these things because I've had that. Because I kind of thought after my son died, like nothing bad could happen. I was totally wrong. And so, you know, things happen and you just have to, I think happiness is a choice. You choose to be happy or choose to be miserable.
I think that. So now how do we live in such a climate where this is not considered normal, right? Like I know that with listening to you and we've talked about my life where when we're talking about these things that are happening, people are kind of waiting for us to fall wailing to the ground or, you know, the kind of thing. And it's like, no, we just have to get on and keep doing what we were doing. And I remember somebody asking me, when did you deal with it? And I said, I'm still dealing with some of it because when you go to wherever you're going, you're kind of dealing with the bits you can deal with at the time, which is letting off.
Space. That's so true.
Right?
That's very true.
And so you're bargaining. Like there are many places where I gave up being a woman because actually nobody cared. That's not what we needed right now. We needed this version of me. We needed the business. Mm-hmm.
True.
And so you almost are having to prove a value. But why is it so different today? What is it that is so different to the way you and I function? Because I think that I just have to get on with it.
I think that's why you and I just instantly, when I've had you on my show, we just hit it off. Like I knew you were my person. Like I'm like, I know this woman so deeply, even though we've only been friendly on Zoom. But I feel you. There's something that you and I have inside our DNA that is exactly the same. You and I don't like pity. The last thing that you and I want is someone to pity me. Like when after my son died and people would tilt their head and go, are you okay? It made me sick. Besides, I already felt terrible. I didn't need people feeling badly for it. We don't function that way. So I think that is something in our makeup that we are exactly the same. And
that level of resiliency is, I think, good for you.
I totally agree. I also think there's a quote that I heard. These things aren't happening to you. They're happening for you. And of course, I don't feel like it was happening for me that my son or my husband or all these other people that died or all these other ridiculous things that happened. But you have to choose to look at it. Like I was getting interviewed in Los Angeles once and they were telling me that they were these psychologists and they were talking about death. And they said, you know, you've actually had post-traumatic growth after these things that have happened. And I think you did as well. I think you and I are way better versions of ourselves than we were before because of these things that happened to us or for us.
Wait. Post-traumatic growth. I have never heard that till you said
it. I hadn't either.
What
Isn't that interesting?
Mean?
That means that when you have something catastrophic in your life where you could have post-traumatic shock, you either choose to deal with it. And I didn't know I was doing that at the time, but I think I heard the song by Whitney Houston, I Didn't Know My Own Strength. And I listened to that song 1,000 times, maybe more. And I didn't know my own strength. I didn't know that I could be such a flippin' beast when I have to be. Not in a mean way towards people, but just that I am a relentless cow and I am not going to give up. And I think that's something that you and I also have, is that we are, regardless of our backgrounds, we have something in us that is like, I want to have a happy, beautiful life. And I'm going to do everything I can to have that beautiful, happy life. And, you know, I love what I do. I love working with my clients. And then not just because they're famous, not all of them are. I have normal people as well. I have civilians, but I love doing that. I love writing for magazines. I do that. I love my podcast. I love, you know, I've created the life I want. And I think that's the most important thing that I would share with people is create the life you want to live. Don't complain. Oh, poor me. I hate my job. I hate my relationship. I hate, like, ugh, I don't want to hear it. Change it. Because there's this Jewish saying that, like, when someone complains to you, they're dumping all their misery onto you and then you're holding it. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. I'll help you figure it out, but figure it out.
So there's a place where that, because we always talk about resilience, and I'm not a huge fan of that word, to be fair. I think I'd rather be more go down with stubbornness and bloody-mindedness, because to me, that's much more appropriate. Resilience feels like...
Oh, it's so much more attractive to us.
Right? Resilience feels like I'm a friggin' trampoline or something, and I don't want to
be... Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
So what is it that makes people that can't move forward not move forward then? Is that
they're stuck. They're stuck. And they get addicted to this story that they've created, which most of the time isn't even true, but they've created it in their mind. Our minds are incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
In fact, I was talking to my best friend, you know, the one in Costa Rica that you and I talked about with the retreat in Costa Rica. I said to her today, I said, you know, what's going on? Like, I've been sleeping without my book at night, and I didn't even think I was possible. She goes, sweetheart, you've told yourself repeatedly that you can't sleep without your book. So you don't. And now that you don't have your book, you're sleeping, and now you're actually sleeping. So you're kind of waking up a little. So I'm getting used to that. So it's true. Our minds are so powerful. Our minds will do whatever we tell it. If we tell ourselves, I hate my life, I'm miserable, well, that's what the universe thinks that you want, to be miserable and hate your life. So you have to, I do affirmations, I meditate, I do all the woo-woo, because some days it is harder than other days to be positive. And I really want things to be great. And I need help with that. That's why the eating well, the exercising, having a positive attitude. And I think also, life opens doors and opportunities when you're pleasant,
and
right?
And kind.
And charming and kind and generous and thoughtful and not difficult. So
it's interesting to me, because it almost sounds like, because I always said that being nice paid off a lot for me, because a lot of the things that people did and helped me with was because I had been nice on my own, you know, and that's how this was the payoff. But there's
it
also
was genuine, your niceness.
Right. Absolutely. And it was genuine, because you can always.
And you were grateful. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Gratitude. My gosh. I'm going to remember that one of your stories of when you were in the bank trying to get that one little bit of money out, and you're having to do this business plan, and you didn't even know what a business plan was. But you know what? Because you were vulnerable, you were open, and you were nice, that nice banker helped you. So.
No, completely. But I'm just wondering that one of the things that I'm hearing you say, which I don't think I've ever thought about before in this way, is that we've developed infrastructures around us that have supported that growth, because it's physical, it's mental, it's how you eat, how you live, and the movement and everything, but also the emotional structures, so that what we're doing is we're saying we need to keep going because of our kids. We had a purpose outside of ourselves. And so maybe it's the combination of that that enables us to continue to succeed.
I agree. Yes. I think that's part of it. And I also think that, you know, I'm not someone that is just going to sit there and wallow in my misery. I find it completely distasteful. I don't want to look at myself and go, oh, poor you. Forget that. Get your ass up and start figuring it out. And you know, it's not always easy. I mean, you know, people will look at our lives and be like, oh, well, your life is, I've heard so many times people telling me, oh, your life's so perfect. It's so this. I'm like, that's what I show you. You don't know. You know, I'm not going to publicly sit there and talk about my misery. Yeah, like sometimes there's things that aren't fabulous and I'm not saying I hide them, but I'm not going to be promoting negativity. No one wants to be around it. And I think because I have a job as a makeup artist, you know, and I'm dealing with people that are very intense and they've got very high pressures. My personal life can't come into it because I have to make sure that they're happy and taken care of. And they're not going to want to be around me if I'm complaining about my personal life. I know how to separate my personal life from my work life. It's not always easy, but I do know when I'm with my clients and they're on set, like there's no way that I would ever bring up anything negative. Never.
No, I agree entirely.
Like it's discipline.
Well, exactly. But maybe that's what it is. There's a place of coaching where you can't turn up to be someone's coach and you're falling apart.
Who's going to pay you? If you can't keep your own shit together, who is going to pay you to help their life? I mean, we can't. It's kind of like, I can't go meet with one of my clients looking like a disheveled mess. Okay.
You are your calling card.
I am my brand and my brand is me. So I have to look to put together. I can't roll out of bed and go on set or meet with my investors or any of it. It's so funny. One of my business partners said, look, all you need to do is don't get fat, don't get wrinkled, and stay positive. And everything else will sort itself out. And it's true. Like, it didn't offend me. It's the truth. Who is going to buy my, you know, products or my wellness or listen to me talk about beauty and wellness if I look haggard?
The don't get wrinkled part is a little difficult, but yeah.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, I just, that was more of a joke, but yeah. You know.
We're going to go on a quick break and we'll come back very soon.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. I wanted to talk about the fact of this insane career that you've built, because you spend a lot of time, you do a lot of very forward-facing things, like you're on TV or you have a media career alongside this. And I find it fascinating that I will speak to people again and again that don't understand the value of a personal brand. But I think that having a personal brand is the most important thing any woman can actually do, because it prevents you becoming dismissible. Your personal brand, for me, a real act of feminism was developing my personal brand and making it undismissible. You can't go past me and just pretend I'm
no.
It's impossible. Can you speak to that? Because it's such a large part of what you do.
It's funny because, you know, I started as a makeup artist, which is behind the camera. And never in 1,000 years did I think I would be doing interviews, that I'd be on NBC on California Live speaking about beauty and wellness, writing articles. It never occurred to me. I always thought I'd be just doing that. It occurred to me that I would become a CEO and create products. I didn't know. And so the one thing I will say is that my TV husband, Berlin Fisher, taught me something a few years ago. He said, you know, you have to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because you know that feeling that we get like, I'm scared. Yeah. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
What I've learned that I've trained my mind to, instead of that feeling when I get, I'm scared to death. No, I'm excited. I have an opportunity. I get to do this. And
yeah,
so
you walk towards it, not away from it.
I walk towards it. I don't say no to things. Like before I'd say, oh, you're going to start another company? Of course not. Oh, you're going to be on TV? No, I don't want to do that. Why wouldn't I? That's called living a full life. Like when someone brings you an opportunity, how do you say no to these things? So now, instead of saying no, I'm like, heck yes, of course I'll do that. That's so cool. And oftentimes, there was one episode, one segment we did on NBC on Valentine's Day, and they said, oh, we want to do a spa, like a Valentine's spa at home. Can you do that? I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I spent 2 days making these beautiful soaps and bath bombs and sugar scrubs, all these beautiful things. And that is one of the episodes I'm most proud of. And I was terrified because I did not know what the heck I was doing. But it's amazing how when we set our mind to something, we can create unbelievable things if we just don't get out of your own goddamn way. That is the whole trick to all of this. Get out of your way and stop telling yourself you can't or no, it's too hard. No, just if failure is not an option and just soaring, what could you actually do?
Right. What would you tell someone who lives with someone who won't do stuff? I was having a conversation last night and she was just like, yeah, he doesn't do anything and everything. And I was like, that must really suck for you. What do you say to someone like that?
Oh my gosh, that's hard. Well, I think first of all, set a good example. I would ask why, you know, I think communication is really important. I would ask that person, what would you do? And I've said this to my kids. What would you do if money wasn't an object? Like, what would you do for free? And then let them hopefully unravel some of that. And then once you figure out what you love doing, then figure out how to get paid. That's what you and I've done. I mean, we're poster children for this. The careers that you and I have conjured up out of our little minds is like, no one could have thought this. But because we have this mindset, and you know, I think also once you have like a little win, like, you know, when I started getting my first celebrity or I started Pretty Girl or I did my first magazine cover, all these little things, they give you a little bit more confidence to keep going. And then it's like addictive, like, okay, well, how much more can I do? Oh, write a magazine article? I don't know how, but I'll figure it out. I think you just start, it makes you much more confident in a way. And it's not an arrogant way. It's like, I'm smarter than I thought. I'm much more clever than I thought. I can do more than I thought. So do it.
That kind of go alongside. What is it that you think that stops people trying? What is this huge fear of failure? I don't understand having a fear.
Because you and I don't think of failure as failure. You and I think of failure.
Oh, God. I don't think it's
bad. I find it their lessons. Sometimes what we think is failure is like we think we should be going down the right road. Oh no, that bump happened because you needed to go to the left. So that was actually happening for you.
Right. It was a smack in the way to kind of go the
yes, other way. It was the universe saying, No, you gotta go down that road. So you and I don't look at, to me, failing is not living, is what like your friend's husband's doing, just not doing their purpose. I don't want to be around someone that's not living their life to their fullest. Like you're given this life, make it what you want. The only reason they're not is because they're paralyzed. I think also if people just take one little step towards what they love doing. I'm not saying quit your corporate job and become a florist, because that's what I always think I want to be as a florist. You know, maybe you do it after work. Maybe you do it on the weekends. Whatever it is that you love doing, sometimes maybe that will fulfill you enough that you can keep in your corporate job by having that passion project or that passion job that you have on the weekends or after work, that you can do both. Or maybe if you get really blessed like you and I have, that we get to do it full time, that we don't have to have that corporate job.
Okay, so then let me ask you another question, which is that for so many people, I think failure is linked to disapproval. I think
yes.
Whereas
you and I don't give a crap because it's not my business what they think of me, and they're going to think of me whatever they are going to think of me anyway. So what? I'm going to not live my life because that person's going to disapprove. I don't need that person's approval. I need my approval. That's what I need.
Yeah. How do you help people to understand that? Because
it's a mindset. You've got to do the work. You just have to like figure that out on your own. And if you're that insecure and you're worrying about, and okay, here's another one. Worrying is the biggest waste of time on the planet. Yeah. Use that for, you know, because people sit and worry like, oh, my children are going to get in a car crash. My, you know, all these things are, they might happen. Okay. 99.9% of the time, they never happen. But you wasted all that energy and time and thought on all this rubbish that never happened and is going to happen. So why don't you use that to do something
energy
that you like?
Focus. Like my mother from when I was very, very young was always like, I'm going to die. Oh, no, I'm going to die. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. Oh, no, I'm going to die. And it was like this all the time, which has been very helpful for me because my relationship with death is super calm because of that.
Yeah, because you hear it
all the time. But my mother is 91 and a half.
I can't.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, the last time she was like, I'm going to die. I'm like, okay, listen, everyone else is dead. You're the one alive. I think we have to stop saying this now. Because honestly, you're still...
But that's her shtick. This is her shtick. This is her thing. I'm going to die. Oh my God. Like...
And she was like, well, that's true. I can't believe you.
You know what you should tell her? You know what, Mom? Your powers clearly aren't very strong because you're not dead.
Yeah, right. You're just not. But it did make me laugh because I was like, well, you're clearly not dying because you're literally the last person, woman standing almost from everyone. She's 92 in February, like, which is around the flipping corner. It's like shocking.
Oh my gosh. She's so funny.
Yeah.
That's just her saying it means nothing to her. Honestly, that sentence means nothing to your mother. She doesn't really think.
She'd be alive.
Oh, she'd have been dead 100 years ago. So no.
So what is the best advice after all this great advice that you've given us in the last half an hour? What is the best advice you would give people? Or women?
Love big, laugh big, figure out what you love doing and do it. Just live your life. Don't just exist. Yuck. I mean, I just feel like people need to, you know, whatever joy it is, and you don't even have to monetize it. You could just maybe, you know, working in your garden brings you joy. Whatever it is, figure out what is your thing and do it. It's not hard.
So I think you're right, though, that when you do the things you love to do, they're much, much easier to monetize because then people come to you because they're drawn by the passion that you have for what you do.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And also, you know, I think people want to be around us because, you know, when you love what you do, you're happy, and happy is intoxicating. It is. It's like people want to be around that, and they want to, you know, I hope that, you know, when we have these conversations that we inspire people to take a moment, sit with yourself, write down what it is you really love doing or what you wish you could do and go do it. What if you were going to die tomorrow and you didn't do all those things? You never want to have regrets in life.
No.
I
remember thinking that about my mother because you've already had so much loss in your life. But I remember thinking about my mother and thinking, you know, and then I was like, okay, I want to live till this age. That gives me what, 20, 25 years, something, 30 years, whatever. And then I was like, okay, so what do I want to do with that time so that I have joy for myself along that period? And it is a completely different place when you live your life for yourself.
Oh, definitely. And I just think, like, I don't tell myself, oh, okay, I want to live to be 90. I'm going to live for as long as I can live and not be that. And I want to feel good. So that's why I make sure that I eat well, sleep, exercise, do all these things. It's not, it's the quality. It's not, no, exactly. I want to be able to hike when I'm 95 and do yoga. But, you know, in order to get there, you have to do it now. You can't wait like, oh, I'll start exercising when I'm 70. No, your body's so going to be beaten down by then.
Do you know, that's funny. My mother actually has worked out every day of her life.
Okay, I rest my case.
Single day of her life. She's still mobile. She is.
See? Did you see that show? I think we talked about this before. Was the Blue Zones?
Yes.
Do you know? Yes.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal. And
living.
Yes. And because all those people had the same thing in common. They kept moving. They didn't become sedentary. That woman that was Sicilian, and it's like, why do you think you've lived to be over 100? And she was convinced it was her faith. Well, yes, that's true. But her faith was up a big hill that she walked up every day to get to pray.
And your body is a machine. Your mind is a machine. You have to use it so it doesn't rust and fall apart. And that was amazing, Christina. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. Thank you for having me, my darling. I love you.
I feel like we could do this for another few hours. So I'm going
to. You and I could just go on and on and on. We need to have a show ourselves.
Precisely. This is the wonderful, amazing Christina Flack. Please look her up, find her, see what she's doing, because it's always awe-inspiring and optimistic. My name is Gita Sidhu Rob. This is Activate Yourself. Thank you very much for joining me, and I will see you again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Gita Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.